23. Luke chapter 23. We've been looking the last couple weeks at different folks that met the Master. And I think it's going to help us because we're gonna see somebody else that met the Master this morning. And it fits with this time of the year also. But you're gonna find this to be true with everyone. Remember a few weeks ago we looked at Christ encountering the woman at the well. And we went through that passage and we studied that one last week. Who did we encounter? Yeah, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anybody? I've been so busy through the week. Oh, the maniac. All right, yeah, some of you, you don't want to throw it out there. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of conviction. You know what I mean? There's a lot of conviction there because you were thinking about yourself. All right, but then we saw the maniac that met the Master. Well, today we're going to look at a different person. As we get started, I read a story that kind of relates to one of the guys. There was a young, this was many years ago, there was a young man in a town. He was a smart aleck. And he walked into the blacksmith shop shortly after the blacksmith had thrown down one of the horseshoes that he was working on. And the blacksmith had thrown it on the ground so it would cool. This young man walked in, seeing that horseshoe on the ground. He grabbed it, picked it up, and instantly burned his fingers and threw it down on the ground. The blacksmith was kind of happy because he was an idiot. And he said, "Kind of hot, isn't it, son?" And the smart aleck responded by saying, "No, just doesn't take me long to look at a horseshoe." All right, well, you're going to see one of the men we're talking about is just like that. Some people, no matter what their predicament is, they can always keep their rotten personality. And you'll see the one in our text here this morning. In Luke 23, we're going to start in verse 32. There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, this is not in talking to the malefactors. He's talking to the crowd, and actually his accusers and those that were crucifying him. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time. We can gather around the Word of God. We thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you that you have preserved it for us. Thank you that we can go to it. And Lord, that you can show us from the Word of God how to live our daily lives as Christians. But most of all, Lord, we thank you that you have given us Scripture so that we can clearly understand about salvation. And Lord, as we've been looking over the last couple of weeks, I'm glad that you have these examples for us so that we can see how folks can get saved. And Lord, I pray that it would be a challenge to those of us that are Christians, to help us in understanding how we're supposed to reach others with Christ. But then, Lord, I pray, as was already mentioned earlier in the service, Lord, if there's someone here this morning that came in and they're searching, Lord, they've tried a lot of things, Maybe they've tried even self-help. Lord, they've tried religion. And maybe even this morning they thought, well, I'll go to church and that'll make me feel good. But Lord, I pray that they would find Christ. Lord, I pray that you would give clarity. Lord, as always, do what I can't, and that is speak to hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in the passage here, remember the last couple weeks, and again, let me review because this will help you in understanding. For the Christian, what have we been learning the last couple weeks? Here's a woman at the well, and Jesus went out of his way to that Samaritan woman because he knew that there was an appointment with this woman, and she needed to find Christ as her Savior. Then we, last week, saw a maniac. And this maniac was, and I'm not going to rehearse all the things that we learned and studied as far as in that passage, but nothing in this world could help that maniac. They had spent money. They had done all kinds of things, and finally they had thrown him out there where the dead lived. And that's exactly what we told you as far as that's where Satan and his devices, and that's where sin will leave you. It'll leave you in the tombs. It'll leave you in death. But guess what? All that the world had, it could not restrain sin. And all that the world has here, as far as all the options that it's going to give you as far as a sinner and sitting here this morning, all that the world says, and all that the world says that try this and try this and try this, it will never restrain sin. But what you can do is come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, what will happen is you will get your right mind. And you'll be clothed. And then you'll want to hang out with Jesus as much as you can. But in our text here, we find not a maniac. We don't find a woman at the well. We find a criminal. And a criminal meets the master. Now, going back to thinking of these three different instances, the reason we're tying some of these together, and in a couple weeks we're going to tie a couple more. And the reason I'm doing it even for Christians, and I'm trying to do an application, is because you're going to find no pattern. You're going to find no pattern. Because Jesus, with the woman at the well, he dealt with that lady completely different than he did with the maniac. And Jesus here on the cross, he kind of deals with the criminal a little bit different than the maniac and the woman at the well. And this is what you're going to find in the area of soul winning. Soul winning is an individual thing. It's individual. Because why? Because all of us are created beings, and all of us are created different. Sitting around you, you do not have a clone. Now some of you here, you're happy. You're happy that there is not a couple of clones of me. Right? You're like, no. Now, one is enough. Okay? And you know what? I can say the same about you. As there's so much ugliness in this world. You know what? I don't need more of you. No, because we want some happiness around here. But there's only one of you. And you know what? When Christ, when we're born again, that's an individual thing. It's individual. And Christ has to come and deal with us individually. And that's what you're going to find in the area of soul winning. Soul winning, I can't give you some set pattern. I can't give you the ABCs of soul winning. 1, 2, 3, and it's done. You know, we heard a testimony this morning, and it took years and years and years for different people to reach out to Joe. It wasn't 1, 2, 3. It wasn't ABC. You know what? God, the Holy Spirit, using these folks, was sending folks to him. You know, and each and every one of us that are saved, that's what happens. Some of it could be that, hey, in a matter of 6 months, you were ready. But some, it might have been 10 years. Some, it might have been 20 years. There's folks sitting here, it was 20 years that some people prayed for you. See, it's individual soul winning. And Jesus teaches that right through the Gospels for us. Because here's a woman at the well, and here's a maniac, and here's a criminal. And this criminal met the master. The story of this penitent thief is a surprising one. Now, and I wanted to just mention a couple of things at the beginning. This is the only deathbed confession in the Bible. Just so you know that. It's the only deathbed confession. And I understand that there's deathbed confessions. I understand that somebody can wait until the sunset of their life and they get saved. And man, that is great. God be praised. But I think there's only one in the Bible to tell you and I something very important. Don't wait until then. Don't wait until the last minute to get saved. You can get saved at the last minute, but don't wait until then. The story of the penitent thief is it's a surprising thing. It's instructive. Matthew and Mark use one Greek word to describe the thief, and Luke here actually uses another Greek word. The two words essentially mean the same thing. They mean that this thief was a robber, a plunderer, a criminal, a malefactor. Now, the Bible is not specific of these two guys that were coming along and with Christ, but it does say that they were criminals. It says a malefactor here. And Matthew and Mark, it basically describes them as they were thieves and robbers. Now, there are some theologians that they love to sit and discuss things, and they've kind of tied these two guys to Barabbas. Now, there's nowhere in Scripture that these guys are tied to Barabbas. But some people in their commentaries have said, you know what, now these two guys were kind of tied into Barabbas. And then they go down this line and they talk about the hypocrisy, because then the Pharisees were saying, let Barabbas go, and here are these two guys that were being crucified with Christ. But there's nowhere that we really know of what they did. This is what we do know. They were bad dudes. How do we know that? Because the one dude said it himself. Where does he say that? Verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Now, remember, this is Roman law. And the Jews probably brought these guys before the Romans and wanted them put to death. And so under Roman law, these guys were allowed, and the Jews were not allowed themselves to put someone to death, but the Romans could put someone to death if it was tried properly. And these guys know they deserve to die. They know it. Because they say it. The one thief says, hey, we deserve what we're getting. We deserve it. So let's look at a couple of lessons from this criminal that met the master. The first lesson we see in our context here is when a criminal meets the master, we understand that there is no hopeless case. There's no hopeless case. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, the penitent thief, this man that gets saved, the one criminal that I believe gets saved, was a criminal. I just went through it. Remember, he says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. And so this gives all of us hope, and this gives us hope when we're dealing with somebody about salvation. There is no hopeless cause. There is no hopeless case. You can say, you don't understand what I've done. You don't know how bad I am. You know what? This man was hanging on a cross, ready to die, and he got saved. There wasn't too much more time left for this man. And yet he found Christ. Rome had pronounced him guilty. He felt and he knew that he himself was guilty. He was paying his debt to society. He was suffering. And yet he found Christ. And this, for you and I, there's two ways to look at this. For somebody sitting here and you're unsaved this morning and you say, man, I have a wicked past and I have done horrible things. I understand that. But so did this criminal. And he found Christ. You yourself can't get yourself saved. But at least this criminal, he turned to the right person, didn't he? Man, he just happened. I mean, just think of fate here. I mean, wasn't it a coincidence here? I mean, I can't believe this. I just happened to die next to the Messiah. Woo! Glory! You know what? There ain't no such thing as a coinkydink. If you don't know what that means, coincidence. No such thing. Hey, it was appointed unto this man once to die, wasn't it? There was an appointment. He was supposed to die. Man, he just happened to be dying next to the Savior. Now that's pretty neat. And he was smart enough to just turn and say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Man, he was at least smart enough to do that. So the first lesson we see is that a criminal, when he meets the master, we understand that there's no hopeless cases. The second thing we see is when a criminal meets the master, that one becomes a Christian immediately. You notice Jesus didn't say, just a minute, we have a catechism class, and it's 10 weeks that you've got to go to. And I know you're a little busy right now, you're a little strapped up there, but you know what, if you could just make it down, and here, I got a card here, do you see it? See it here? I got a card, it's got a little email, or you can text if you want, and you know, we'll send somebody by, and after a matter of 10 or 12 weeks, we should be able to lead you into that process, and you can find me, the Savior. No, he didn't have to go to catechism. He didn't have to be baptized. Uh-oh. Yeah. There's something called baptismal regeneration that's taught in a lot of churches. And what they teach is that basically baptism is a part of salvation. This passage creates a little bit of problem with that. Because I don't know if you know it, but this guy wasn't baptized. All right, there was a lot of things that was happening to this dude. All right, they were probably beating him up. They were spitting on him probably too. They were doing a lot of things to this guy, but I'm pretty sure that the Romans were not like, oh, you know what, let's baptize him while we're at it too. No, didn't happen. But when he repented of his sin, now this is what we do see. You see salvation kind of in a nutshell, and it seems kind of fast here. But what do we do see? There's something that has to happen in order for someone to be saved. What does have to happen? They have to turn to Jesus, and they must admit that they have sinned. They must recognize that they cannot pay the penalty of sin, and that Jesus can do that. Do you know all of that is right in our text? All of that is right there. It shows you that salvation can be instantaneous. Now, I don't believe in one and done, slam dunk, and hey, say this prayer real fast and you can be saved. But here you see that this man turned to Jesus and instantaneously he was saved. That's how powerful salvation is. It's not me to go around and trick somebody, but if God wants you saved, he can save you that fast. I can't save you. The church can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Good deeds can't save you. But Jesus, it's nothing for him to save you that fast. Because salvation is instantaneous. Here you see that he cries out and says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Hey, you know what? How much have you given? What you got? What you got in your pockets there? Well, that's not there. At least, maybe in the Greek. Today thou shalt be with me if you have 100 talents. Is that, what kind of credit card you got? They're up there. What you got there? So, what have you done over the past couple years? United Way, I've been kind of noticing you are talking to Jesus. I know everything here. You know, I've been noticing the United Way and the charity things, charity drives. Your name hasn't been coming up there. In fact, I'm pretty sure you're hanging here because you robbed one of them. Well, he didn't do any of that. The guy calls out to Jesus, and Jesus turns to him because what had he done? He had repented, believe it or not. Jesus heard his repentance. And what was it? Because the other guy, remember the crabby guy on the other side? I mean, you would think all three of them are having a bad day, aren't they? They're all three having a bad day, but here's Crab on this side that he just figures, you know what, I'm having a bad day. I know they look like they're having a bad day, but I might as well just keep having a bad day and be like, you know what, you deserve it. You know what, you save yourself. All right, stupid, you're on a cross. You're on a cross too. All right, but the other guy looks across and says, hey, bozo, we deserve this. Guess what that is? That's admitting that he was a sinner. We deserve this. We deserve this because we did wrong. I'm a sinner. And this man doesn't deserve it. Why? Because he's Christ. He's sinless. So right here, we have a picture of salvation. When a criminal meets the master, we understand there's no hopeless cases. When a criminal meets the master, we understand that one becomes a Christian instantaneously. When a criminal meets the master, we understand that if some are saved in death, others are not. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? There was two thieves. Remember that? We kind of capitalize on this criminal that met the master. And man, it's rejoicing today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. But what about the other one? If we could go to hell today, you'd still see the other thief. He's still agonizing. And I don't think now that he's so sarcastic, I don't think that he's so like, hey, if you can save yourself, I'm thinking that he's there in hell. And like the rich man that landed up in hell, he's looking up and he's saying, oh Lord, Messiah, I was wrong. He could have saved me. But it's too late. It's too late for that other thief. Because if some are saved in death, others are unsaved, and they go to a Christless hell. Is that what you want this morning? You say, you know what, I'm just not sure. Now, this is the thing. If I just made all of this up, and, you know, I said, you need to get saved, and I'm up here, and you say, it's just a racket. Just a racket there. You're just making all this up, and it could be true. But what if, and if it's true, then on this earth, you know, I get up every day, I read my Bible, on the weekends, I'm dressing up and coming to church, and there's a bunch of us, and we're running buses and picking up kids. You know what? If it's all a racket and it's all a hoax, you know what? I might lose a little bit when I die. You know, so that I gave a lot to the poor. I led a lot of people in some hoax. But what if I am right? What do you lose? What if I am right? What if it is true? Now, I believe it, just so you know. What if I am? What if it is true that there's a hell? Now, you say, well, you just make it up. It's just a hoax or whatever. And you can believe that. If you're true, if it's true on your side, and it's just a hoax, then at the end of my life, what have I done? I got up and preached a lot. We've run the buses. We've helped a lot of people. All right, and we die and nothing else happens. Okay. I say I still live a good life. But what if you're wrong and I'm right? What if I am right? And you die, and you end up next to this thief, screaming in agony and pain. Now, I think I'm right. You know why? It's not me. It's God's word. There are people that say that hell is not real, but the problem that they have is that hell is mentioned in the Bible. Just so you know. And actually, Jesus mentions hell more often than heaven. Right? There's people that out there, you know, the Bible never says. Yes, it does. So, you know, the naysayers that are saying that hell is not real, they actually have never read the Bible. Or they've made up their own Bible. But if I am right, and I believe I am because God says it, then if you forget the Savior, then when you die without the Savior, you will be in hell. You see, when the criminal meets the master, he was saved in death, but the other man went to hell. See, a criminal meets the master, and we understand there's no hopeless causes or cases. A criminal meets the master, we understand that getting saved is instantaneous. It's not some process. A criminal meets the master, and we understand that if some are saved in death, others are not saved. When a criminal meets the master, we understand that eternal life is better than earthly life. You know, and I believe that we should live properly. I think that once you get saved, as I said, this is the only deathbed confession that we see. And I think that's purposeful so that we understand that don't wait until the sunset. Don't wait until the end. Do that now. Take care of it and live your life for God here on this earth. But this is what I do understand by this. This man lived a horrible life. He was a thief. He was a robber. He was a wicked man. But guess what? That was just here on this earth. And for eternity, oh, he's in heaven. He's with God. He's with my Savior for eternity. And so here on this earth, man, he was a wicked man and he had done wrong things, but man, he found Christ. And so for just a blip on this earth, it was bad. But for eternity, oh, it's kind of sweet bliss, isn't it? And you know what? That should give us a perspective of eternity. Those of us that are saved, that's why that loved one that you know or that coworker or that person that you're just kind of rubbing shoulders with every once in a while, remember, they will spend eternity somewhere. Somewhere. Eternity has no caps on it. There's no cap on this thing. There's no cap on this thing. And you and I cannot wrap my brain around it. I may be able to comprehend 100 years. I may be able to say, yeah, you know what, way back in the 50s, way back in the 40s. But really, I can talk about the 1500s. I can talk about the 1400s, but I don't really understand it. But with God, there's only eternity. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. See, a criminal meets the master and it teaches you that eternal life is better than earthly life. When one finds Christ as a Savior, you find life's greatest treasure. You'll never be satisfied in life until you find Christ. You'll never be satisfied. A criminal meets the master. We understand there's no hopeless cases. Criminal, he meets the master. We understand that salvation is instantaneous. A criminal meets the master. We understand that some are saved in death. Others are unsaved in death. Criminal meets the master. We understand that eternal life is better than earthly life. And when a criminal meets the master, we understand that certain human teachings are false. What do we mean by that? The thief's conversation refutes the sacraments. Now, what do we mean by that? He couldn't join a church. He could not be baptized. He could not, the last rites, the Catholics do. I don't know if you know that, but on the cross, he didn't get that done. So there was not the last rites. He did not get baptized as an infant. He did not go. He was not a member of this church. He couldn't go and do good works. He could not go serve in any way. He could not have this period of holy living. And then maybe he could get saved. No, it goes, the thief dying on the cross presents some problems for some of the teachings out there. And that is that Jesus Christ, when you turn to Christ and he alone, that is where you get saved. I love church. And according to the Bible, Jesus Christ died for the church in Ephesians chapter 5. That's why I think the church is important. But some people, because they want to build up a church and they want to maybe put something, some guilt on you, and you put some extra pressure and you know what, you got to be a church, you got to do it, you know what, and maybe they tie it into salvation. You know what, I can't do that and really adhere to the Bible. I can't do it. I can't make it up. Because guess what, it's in Christ alone that you get saved. As I said, I love church. I believe in church. And there's other scriptures that teach the importance of church. But I cannot tie your church attendance to salvation. I can't do it. And some religion that ties it in, or some religion that says it is Christ plus, that is just simply that, a religion. It is man's idea of spirituality. What you need to do is find God's idea. And God's idea is there's no sacrament. There's no other thing you have to do to get saved. The thief dying on the cross and his conversation refutes sacraments. The thief's conversion on the cross and his death refutes another theory out there, and that's called universalism. Universalism says that all will be saved. And this thief on the cross, what does he teach us? The other man was unsaved, and the thief, the penitent thief, was saved. So what does it tell you? Some are saved and some are not. It refutes universalism. No, we're not, hey, we're all heading to the same place. I hope not. Because if you haven't found Christ, I don't want to go where you're going. Just so you know. Because, yeah, there's a whole bunch of people heading to the same place. But I'm hoping not to be there. And actually, I don't have to hope. I know that I won't be there. You know why? Because I trusted in Jesus Christ. And my faith is resting upon him. It refutes universalism. The thief's conversation and death refutes another thing, and this refutes purgatory. There's no such thing as purgatory. It's never mentioned in the Bible. There's not some suspended animation out there. And so when you die, you go to purgatory, and then you can pray them out of purgatory if you do enough. And actually, your prayer can do nothing for them. Your prayer can do nothing for that person that's dead. Nothing. Read Luke chapter 16 and you see a rich man. And when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. And in hell, it says, he lifted up his eyes. And so purgatory, that they just created that. And you know why they created that? I think they created that to make some money. Because you can come in and you pay me enough and you do this and you do that. And guess what? Maybe they'll get out. And that's all they can tell you is a maybe. Because that priest has no clue what he's talking about. I don't care what some pope says. He's just a man. Just like I am. He's not the Savior. He can say whatever he wants and he can make up whatever he wants. But he is not Christ. And what he says is not on par with this word. He's a man. And if not, I challenge you as a Catholic. Tell your priest to come over here. Tell him to come over here, and I guarantee he will bleed like I do. I'll punch him. I'll let him bleed right there. And I'm like, hey, I thought you were holy. Because it sure looks like you get some holy blood leaning down, coming down there. All right, and if he punches me, guess what's going to happen? He cuts me, I'm going to bleed. He cuts me enough, he slits my throat, guess what I do? I die. It's not, I'm not living forever. I'm not able to take the word of God and take it, and then all of a sudden God speaks to me and adds to it. That's what they believe. It's the word of God and the Holy Fathers. Sorry. Mm-mm. It's the word of God. The word of God. And their contradictions of the word of God is just that. It's contradiction and it's baloney. It's baloney. Now, I actually like bologna myself. I like thick bologna. I love fried bologna. All right? But fried bologna is just that. Did you know that? It's not really something sacred. All right? It's not. Fried bologna is just fried bologna. It's something you eat for my belly. All right? And guess what? That bologna that they're feeding out, actually, the problem with their bologna is I can't even eat it. Can't even eat it. So the thief's conversion and death refutes universalism. It refutes the sacraments. It refutes purgatory. The thief's conversion and death also refutes soul sleep. Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, they preach soul sleep. They preach that when you die, you go into this sleep. And some of them believe that maybe at the resurrection you'll be taken. But according to this, Jesus said, look what he said. And it's interesting, Brother Olson and I were talking about it, and I think it's Ellen White, and her interpretation of this says, verily, I say unto thee today, comma. Isn't that what she said? Yes. All right, so Ellen G. White thought that she knew the Bible, and just so you know, she was the one that started Jehovah's Witness. Oh, it's Seventh-day Adventists. Sorry, Seventh-day Adventists. All right, but she says, verily, I say unto thee today, you shall be with me in paradise. That's not what it says there, woman. All right, I know she's dead. If she's saved, she understands now. All right, she's nodding. All right, if not, all right, which it could be. Because guess what? You come in and you lead people astray from how to accept Christ, more than likely you're not saved. And so what did she do? She took the word of God and decided, I know more. Verily I say unto thee today, you shall be with me in paradise. That's not what Christ said. Actually, what he said is, verily I say unto thee, today you're going to be with me in paradise. That takes away their idea of soul sleep, doesn't it? Because if their soul was going to go in sleep, how could he be with him today? Duh. All right, I'm not the most brilliant man in the world, but I'm pretty sure I got that. I'm pretty sure he meant, what did he mean? Hello? Hello? What did he mean? You guys went to soul sleep, didn't you? Uh-huh, I caught you. All right? And really, Ellen G. White, she should come here on Sunday morning. That's probably where she got the idea of soul sleep. All right? Because she came here, saw you guys. All right? That's just a Sunday morning sleep. All right? Sunday morning sleep. All right? So what did the Bible say? Jesus said, when would he be with him in paradise? Today. Not tomorrow. Not in a week. Not in a year. Hey, when I come back. No, he said, today. You know who I'm going to trust? I'm going to trust Christ. I think he knows what he's talking about. Pretty sure he knows what he means. And he said, today. The thief's conversion refutes purgatory, universalism, the sacraments, and refutes soul sleep. The final thing that we see here. All right, you see nothing else except that in verse 40, verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. The other one says, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? This man hath done nothing amiss. He's perfect. See, we're seeing all that about salvation. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what I almost see here? I see a little bit of fear. It's dawning on this man. He's dying. What's next? What is next? But you know what I see? Nothing else. After verse 43. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And conversation is dropped. You know what, to me, it indicates? that if I have Christ, I can face death unafraid. Oh, there's some sitting here, and you've had a spouse, you've had a relative face death. And there's some sitting here that you've seen relatives that were saved and they faced death, and you've seen relatives that were unsaved and they faced death. And there's a difference, and you know it. Because I can remember being even with church members that were facing death. And I'm telling what, I went there to encourage them and they encouraged me. Because God was just with them. It's peaceful. It's peaceful. And that's what you get the impression that here is this thief and he's worried. He's saying, hey, shut up over there. I'm dying. And this is the perfect Christ. We deserve this. Hey, would you remember me? And Jesus says, today thou shalt remember me in paradise. And it seems like right then, there's just peace. And for those of you that are unsaved here this morning, there's unrest in your soul. There's a weariness. There's heartache. There's a burden. And a criminal met the master. And I believe he's in heaven. And you could meet the master this morning. And you know what? That fear, that unrest, that heartache, it can be gone. I'm not trying to trick you at all. You see what the penitent thief. He knew what he was. He knew what he was. And you and I as a sinner, we know what we are. And we know what we deserve. Will you come to Christ? That's for the unsaved. For the saved sitting here this morning, we saw a woman at the well. We saw a maniac. And we see a criminal. You know what all of them need? They all need to find Christ. Every one of them, and they're all different. And some of it, even with Christ at the woman at the well, he had to sacrifice a little bit. He had to go out of his way to find that lady. And the disciples, they didn't understand, but he needed to go through Samaria. The maniac of Gadara, here he was. He was scaring the whole town, and it was horrible. But what happened? Jesus there came out to the maniac, and man, all of a sudden, those demons, they knew they had met their match. And here this criminal, even though it's a dying confession, it's the only one in the Bible, and this dying confession, this criminal, he turns to Christ. And man, I'm sure he's glad today. You know, the Bible says Jesus died once. There was no other chance for any other criminal to have the chance that this guy did, because Jesus died one time. But man, this criminal, he just got sentenced at the right time. And he found Christ. And this is what's amazing to me for those of us that are saved. And it should wrench your heart. Because Jesus dying on the cross, and the sin of the world being upon him, and his Father turning his back on him, even with all of that, he found time to lead someone to him. But you and I as Christians, oh, you don't know my schedule. I don't know. But in my schedule, I haven't been hanging on a cross that much. Because that seems like a good excuse. It seems like you could get out of soul winning and get out of getting somebody to church. But even on the cross, Jesus was still bringing people to heaven. He was there on the cross, and here he turns and he's like, you know what? It's kind of busy. You know what? I got blood coming down. They just beat me over the head. Leave me alone. But no, no, no. That's our Savior. Our Savior. Even dying on the cross and next to this criminal says, hey, today you'll be with me in paradise. How much do you care about souls? Is it a burden as much as our Savior? As a Christian, if not, then come to the altar and beg Him and say, God, give me Your heart for souls. If you're unsaved this morning, we tried to introduce you to the Savior. This criminal, he was on his deathbed. You're not. Or maybe you are. Maybe you just got diagnosed. I don't know. And you say, there's no hope. Oh, yes, there's hope. There's Christ. Would you meet the Master this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.